الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. With regard to our wazaif and ma'amulat, the last we discussed about the three quls. In one hadith it comes that a person will read أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم three times. And then the last three ayats of Surah Al-Hashr in 28th Sufara, the famous ayats, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّهُ till the end of the ruku, end of the surah, one time. Then, وَكَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ Allah appoints for that person 70 alfa malakin, 70,000 farishtas. What are they going to do? They are exclusive for that person. يُصَلُّونَ عَلَيْهِ أَيْ يَدْعُونَ لَهِ They will be making dua for him. If he reads it in the morning, then till the night sunset time, 70,000 farishtas will be engaged in making dua for you. وَإِمَّاتَ فِي ذَٰلِكَ الْيَوْمِ مَاتَ شَهِيدًا And if a person happens to die that day when he read this, he will die as a shaheed. And if he reads it at night, وَإِمَّاتَ فِي تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَ مَاتَ شَهِيدًا Then he will die as a shaheed if he read it at night. So there is also a very, very great and valuable wazifa. We should not miss it out. Just by reading that, which is perhaps a minute or so, and we get 70,000 farishtas. Farishtas who do their job fully, fully, diligently. You don't have to pay them, you don't have to feed them, you don't have to give them a shelter, nothing. They will be just doing your work all the time, free of charge. And what a great work the farishtas do us who are mustajab. All the du'as of the farishtas are 100% accepted. And the whole day, 70,000 farishtas making du'a for you. What can go wrong in your life? What can't go right? Everything will go right in your life with a simple, straightforward wazifa. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, in one tabligh ijtima, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali said, I don't start my day's work. I don't have my breakfast until first I put 70,000 farishtas on my duty. Just by reading this, you have employed, you have put on your duty 70,000 farishtas. You don't have to pay them, you don't have to see to anything, you don't have to have a watch to clock in that they are on time. They do their work 100%. So, and they will be making dua for you the whole day. This is like a person who's got a business and he says, I don't enjoy my breakfast until first I open my shop and I hear the till ringing. Customers are coming, money is going in the till. Then I enjoy my breakfast. So first we should read this before doing anything else. We get 70,000 farishtas to make dua for us. And so there is a very, very great wazifa which we should not miss out. Three times, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ Three times. And then one time, the three ayats, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ till the end. And those who are not hafiz, start doing it, look in the Qur'an Sharif, and by reading it daily, you will be learning it off. Very soon, you'll learn it, or you just have to put a little effort to learn it, and you'll be able to learn it. And it is also, it should give us great joy to be reading this ayat, all the sifat of Allah. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali on one occasion explained that there are occasions in a person's life, like a father, he praises his son, that this son of his children, this son is a Maulana, this one is a Qari, this one is this one is doing this work of deen, and he finds relief and pleasure. And there are occasions when the children praise the parents. My father is this, my father is that, my father is like this. So there is an occasion where the makhluk, the servants of Allah are praising Allah. Who Allah? Ma'u Allah. Who is our Ar-Rahman? He is Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar. He should give great pleasure to a person. And when reading all this also, don't just read the ayats, but try and focus on Allah Ta'ala. It must not happen that even Asma'ul Husna we read, but our mind doesn't even, we don't think of Allah. After reading all the 99 names, we don't think of Allah. So there are two things, to think of Allah, the Zat, the being of Allah, and that particular sifat, that Allah is Rahman, most merciful, Rahim. There is no limit to His mercy and His kindness. All that, that is how, then that connection will be built. To read the 99 names every day, we have them read, we hear them, but let us try and focus on the meaning. And mashallah, many ulama have written the meanings of Asma'ul Husna. And if we read it all, we will see our knowledge will also increase, our connection, our love, and our ma'rifat of Allah, that who is Allah Ta'ala. And one of the main names that we take, Allahu Akbar, in every adhan 6 times. And we are required to reply to the adhan, so another 6 times. So 30 times in the 5 adhans, another 30 what we replied is 60. Then Iqama, again 30 times. And we are also required to reply to the Iqama, which is another 30. Every rakat, 6 times. And there are about 50 rakats in the day that we read. All if we read our farai, sunnats, all nafal, so it's about another 300. And we repeat it, we hear from the Imam and we repeat also. So close to almost about 1,000 times a day, we are saying, Allahu Akbar. But Allahu Akbar hasn't touched our heart in the least, but not the presence of Allah, not the consciousness of Allah, not the greatness of Allah, that Allah is greater than any and everything. The whole world together, cannot do anything to Allah Ta'ala. And Allah alone, He controls everything as He pleases. So that greatness of Allah, unfortunately, the whole effort of our, of tasawwuf and khanqa, is to get connected with Allah. But we who are, and we are still so unconnected. We don't think of Allah. We don't think of the great qualities, the sifat of Allah Ta'ala. So when we read this, try and just pay a little attention to the beautiful names of Allah. And a person who will do that, he will be keen to get more information that what are the details of Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Malik, and Allah is Malikul Mulk, the Malikul Maliki Yawmiddin, all this, the different facets and meanings. Then we'll come to realize who our Allah is. So Allah give us tawfiq to do that on a daily basis, inshallah. With regard to the keeping of our rozas, hopefully in a very, very, we try to explain what rozas are and then what Ramadan. And the main aspect of Ramadan for everyone, even non-Muslims, if you ask what is Ramadan, when Muslims keep fast, that is keep roza. That is the main aspect, roza aspect. So our rozas, our fast, saum, priyam must become correct. That what is really a roza. And the qualities and what are supposed to come after that in a person. As we had explained that incident, that this is when deen will be coming into our lives. This one Imam of Baghdad, was a very famous and very pious, righteous. He was a mufti also, khatib also. Whenever he should start his du'as, he should say in the sadqa of those two widows, O Allah, accept my du'a. His students asked him, that who are these two widows that in their sadqa you are asking them? We did mention, we repeat it again. He said that there was this one businessman in Iraq, very wealthy, prominent man, and he was very successful businessman, and he used to travel for his business regularly to Syria, where he should have to stay a week, 2 weeks. After some time, he thought, I might as well as get married. Yeah, almost half my life I spend here. Half I spend my day, my life left there. He got married. He stayed. He carried on with his business, going up and down. And then at one time, he fell very ill in Syria. And doctor said, we don't see any hope of you living. So then he gave that wife of his a nice big amount of money. And also he gave her the house. He put it on her name. And he gave her talaq also. And he said, now you are free. You can marry who you want to. The first wife in Iraq, she made out the first time that something, my husband is not the same. So she hired a private detective to check. So he came and reports that it is true, though it's not, I don't like to say it, but he's married, he's got another wife there. She didn't have time to speak to him about it, and he fell ill and he came. She looked after him and he passed away in that. Now this is what Islam, when it is in a person's life. She said that since he was married, so the other wife, whatever the share of the wives are, then whether it's one wife, two, three wives, the same share which they must share out among themselves equally. So she said, she's my co-wife, so how much my share is, or a big amount, that half of it belongs to her. So she went with that private detective there to her place, met her, and after talking, she said that my husband, I found out he's married to you also, and so the share that worked out of mine, half rightfully belongs to you. Nobody knew about it. She could just keep quiet and keep the whole share. This is when deen comes into a person. This is what we are saying, that Allah makes it that deen comes into our lives. Not just the outward form of namaz, or outward form of roza. These realities come into our life. That woman got up, embraced her, and told her, my sister, as you fear Allah, I also fear Allah. As you want to please Allah, I also want to please Allah. And when your husband, I was married to him, but at the end, when he was diagnosed and he was told that you won't be living, he gave me money, he gave me the house, and he also gave me talaq. And he told me I can marry who I want to. So I'm not in his nikah, so I'm not entitled to it. She could also easily keep quiet. This other woman didn't know about all this, and she could have kept that money. But this is when deen is in a person. So Allah give us tawfiq. Or like that incident, that person who made khidmat of his father, and then 100 coins were left for him, no barakat, 10 coins, 1 coin with barakat, and then see what he were. And innumerable instances like this, when Allah becomes ours. So deen has to come in the reality, then a person. And it mustn't be done even for all this purpose. It must be done solely for the pleasure of Allah, that we are the abid, the slaves of Allah Ta'ala. We are the ibad of Allah Ta'ala. And we have to, then Allah showers, opens his doors. And really it is when the value of this dunya goes out of our heart, money, things of this dunya, then Allah gives you dunya. Until you chase the dunya, you don't get dunya. Even if you get it, you don't know how to use it. But the day you kick dunya, that's the day dunya falls at your feet. Dunya is like a shadow of the akhirah. As long as you chase the shadow, you'll get nothing. You can't peg it down. You can't hold it. You can't chain it up. You can't do anything. But just catch whose shadow it is. And then the shadow is with you all the time. So we just chase akhirah. And dunya is the shadow of akhirah. Then you will get your dunya, it will come to you. And when you have to choose between the reality and the shadow, who will go for the shadow? You go for the reality. So when you go for akhirat, then dunya will, as long as you chase dunya, dunya runs in front of you and you can't catch up with it. The day you chase the reality, akhirat, dunya turns around and chases you. Then dunya comes after you. You are running after, as long as you run after dunya, you don't get dunya. And that satisfaction, no matter how much you get, you can't get more. You have one valley of gold, you'll want two. You have two, you have three. You have one wife, you want to have two wives. You'll have three to four wives, you'll want all other women also still in your life. You won't, the day you take it out of your heart, then the whole world falls on you. And the whole world comes to be, runs after you. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So anyway, Allah make it that we can every year, as long as we live till our last moment, we make effort to make Ramzan what is Ramadan. It's not just a month. It is a great, great month of Allah's great rahmat that comes down. And to improve our rozas, our fast all the time. Never to be complacent. And that check ourselves how complacent are we. Some of us, we are making namaz for the past 30 years. Some perhaps 40 years, 20 years we are making namaz. But did the conscience come to mind, the thought, I must improve my namaz. Or at least even just to check my namaz. Is my namaz right? Look, our elders, we should take lessons from them. When it was this Dodi season, Mero. So Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali found that his wife, every meal she's cooking Dodi. So he says, Dodi coming out now from my nose, from my ears. Every meal, Dodi, Dodi, Dodi. So he asked us, we said, but it's sunnah. We learn from you people that it's sunnah to have. Just struck like an arrow, it hit Maulana. That a woman living in the four walls of the house doesn't go out. But the ahmiyat, the importance of sunnah is in our heart. That it's season now, so we must have as much as we can. And he said, I talk so much, but is sunnah in my life or not? And then he decided he'd make up like an inventory, a checklist. And from morning to night, for 3 days, he checked whether sunnah is in my life or not. So we also, that when I get up in the morning, do I read my dua? When I enter my house, do I make salam, do I read the dua? From my experience, from where we travel, and we are mostly always hosted by our friends, who are also in deen, etc. I can only remember two houses where the houseman, when he leaves, enters the house, he makes salam. Otherwise, all our friends, it's like, and if you make salam, they look around surprisingly, that who's this now, who's now, whereas we are, it's a natural thing that has to happen, but we don't do it. The dua, when we enter home, how important it is, more than what we can expect of everything being all right at home, etc. But the dua to read, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayr al-mawlaj wa khayr al-makhraj. Bismillah kharajna, bismillah walajna, wa ala Allahi rabbina tawakkalna. Ask ourselves, do we read the dua when we enter? Do we read the dua when we leave the home? It is only sheerly Allah's mercy that we still existing, that we still functioning, we still operating. Otherwise, really, without these du'as, we shouldn't be Allah's mercy. From there also gauge the mercy of Allah. Allah remembers us fully every moment. It's impossible for Allah to forget any of His creation for a split second. And if we remember Him with His obedience, He remembers us with His inayat, with His favors. And when we engage in disobedience, He still remembers us with reminders. And He sends now some reminders which we also take wrongly. We take it as musibat in our lives. Illness, some financial problem, some fight with somebody. Actually, it's a reminder from Allah that has come to remind us. And that we should now wake up now. It's a wake-up call. And those who are wake-up, they don't need a wake-up call. A wake-up call is required by one who is sleeping still. He needs a wake-up call. But a person who is wake-up, he's awake, he doesn't need a wake-up call. So Allah, and then again, and all this, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And small little things we send, so that we save them from the bigger problems. And that we want them to return to us. That is all we want. To become obedient to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah's favors and mercies are unlimited. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we realize how kind, who Allah is, how merciful, how kind Allah Ta'ala is. For example, people question also that if there is Allah, then why are there so much of volcanoes, earthquakes, floods, etc., wars that take place, people living in poverty, all that. So if you see like a doctor, a surgeon operating on somebody, he's cutting his stomach open, he's taking out his heart, etc., all that is really pain to the person. But because he's under anesthetic, he doesn't feel the pain. But otherwise, if the anesthetic was not given and somebody cuts you open, what pain a person will go through. Now, is the doctor doing all that because he hates the patient or because he's cruel? In fact, you pay him. You sign that you can cut me up every time for the operation you sign. All that is doing for your benefit. So whatever Allah is sending is to remind them. And when we don't remember Allah, whether it's individually or when it comes collectively, whatever, then Allah sends His reminder. He's operating on us so that we can come right. We can turn back to Allah Ta'ala. And when the doctor treats you and you get right, you pay him also. And many a person, not he'll pay the full amount, but he'll give a gift also. After paying the doctor, you appreciate what he did for you. Now that problem you had is gone, now you're living nicely. So you give a gift on top of paying him, and what an amount you paid the doctor. But to Allah, even if some problem comes in our life, and there's an operation Allah is doing on us, so now we should be giving Allah gifts, make more shukr, turn more to Allah, make more the zikr of Allah, more obedience to Allah. But we don't remember Allah in the least, but... And this is ashraful makhlukat, who are ulul albab, who are people, Allah Ta'ala, akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum, la ta'alamuna shay'a, waja'ala lakum as-sam'a, wal-absara, wal-af'ida, all la'allakum tashkurun. But we don't make shukr. We are drowning in the ni'mat of Allah all the time, and drowning in the disobedience of Allah. No tawbah, no istighfar, no shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Really, we are not fit to be called insan, forget to be called Muslims, and forget to be called that we are supposed to be like pious Muslims. We are very, very far from each other. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So Allah give us tawfiq to appreciate like Ramzan, to make it Ramzan, it's Siyam, to make Siyam, Siyam. Not just the name. You have a picture of a biryani, of roast, or anything else. You can't eat that. And somebody praising biryani, biryani tastes so wonderful, or this dish is so wonderful, but the picture of it, or the word of it, that's not going to give you the reality of it. So rozas also, which a person, many of us think, I don't know how these people carrying on about roza. Roza is a burden. One atheist also said that, why do you torture yourself, keeping roza, suffering? When they explain, according to their understanding, how many scientific reports of the great benefits of roza. The best detox is roza. The best treatment, medical treatment is roza. Scientifically they have proven it. So Allah has given us a prescription which is the best for our health. And ideally, Allah knows our system. 30 days a year, you have to detox. But that also, just imagine, we do detox. We don't eat the whole day, alhamdulillah, so much we do. But every time we overeat. And we eat hifz ma'ataqaddam, that the whole day I won't be eating. Iftari time, our memories are so short, we forgot we ate for the whole day. Now we say, I didn't have lunch today, I didn't have my 4 o'clock tea, I didn't have 10 o'clock tea, I must cover that up again. So quantity-wise, we eat more. And as far as the food we eat, the rich food, out of Ramzan, we don't eat this rich food. Only when there is some da'wat, we go by somebody, somebody is invited by us, some desserts are made, some extra savouries are made, but normally, straightforward meal we have. But yeah, every day we are eating. And then there are so many again who have the iftari and the opening roza iftari, and that also is done with so much of food, and then supper after namaz again. That's again another meal, and after Isha another snack again, and then again seri, and then again saying, hey, rozas are heavy. You made yourself so heavy, and then you say rozas are heavy. And if rozas, it has been seen, the less you eat, the lighter your roza. You don't even feed your roza. The more you eat, the more you feed your roza. So, and the more we commit any guna, the more you feel. Those who don't commit sins, they don't even feel the roza. You don't even like to realize that they have got roza. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to bring the reality of this deen, then we'll appreciate. And the greatest thing that brought deen to us, which is inseparable from this month of Ramadan, the Quran Sharif. This Quran Sharif, as Allah says in this ayah, Shahrul Ramadan. What a month of Ramadan. Shahrul Ramadan. Ramadan. Which is that month? Where it is the month of fasting? Ya Allah, immediately, Alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. Where rozas are a major part of this month. Rozas, siyam, and mahisiyam cannot be separated. They are so interwoven with one another. Like that Quran Sharif, this is the month that yeah, now Allah turns our attention to a great, great event also, a great, great reality, that this is that month, unzila fihi al-Quran. The Quran was revealed in this month. So that makes this month splendid. Or was the month splendid and the Quran came in this month? Both of them are so great. But the real essence of everything is the Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif is that command of Allah, which is from Allah. It is not separate from Allah, for which Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal gave his life. That Quran Sharif is not makhluq. Allah didn't create it. It is a sifat of Allah Ta'ala. It is, and as Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, when he saw Allah Ta'ala in a dream and he asked, which is the best way to come to you? Allah Ta'ala said, that which came out of me is the best way to come to me, the Quran Sharif. And that Allah Ta'ala has given in this great month of Ramadan. This great Quran, الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Then Allah explains here briefly, and many in the whole Quran, the Quran defines itself. The Quran introduces itself, that what is the Quran? هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. It is a kitab of hidayat. And what is hidayat? To find how to do something. Anything you want to do, you know how to do it. You bought some things, very valuable, very expensive, but you don't know how to assemble them. And now you get the instruction manual. And now you see, to do it this way, now the thing starts working for you. And then you see what and what it does for you. How many things, things that should take you weeks to do, now you're doing it in a minute. Things which you should have to labor and work hard to do, now it's just getting done. Like that, this is hidayat. This hidayat, how to live our lives, how to eat, how to go to toilet, how to relate with my wife, how to relate with my children, everything. With regard to relationship with our children, there are many who are engaged in dini work. We are doing a lot. And we, in the process, completely neglect our children. Our own, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum. First is what our duties are. Worrying. One time, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahab Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali was asked that to make effort on non-Muslims that they accept Islam, etc. And all some details of that question. Mufti Sahab said, look, listen, open your ears. Your first duty is you yourself. After that, then you look after others. So first ourselves. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and your family from the fire of Jahannam. So our children, how much do we give time? To the wife, do we give time to her religious aspect, for her tarbiyat, for her islah? Or just because what our objects are, she must cook for us, She must, she's a housekeeper. She must see to the house. She must see to the children. And just to satisfy our lust with her. But her dini life, do we give any time? Our children, once we make children, we feel that it is our work just to make children. And then after that, somebody else must care for them. There was Maulana Muhammad Ekalwaya Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, very great alim of our older type alims in Springs. So in one discussion with his friend, he said, you people think that your job is just to make babies. And after that is the Maulvi's job now to teach them, to make their tarbiyat. Any problem the children, the Maulana didn't teach them. The one are not teaching in the madrasa properly. Haven't you got responsibilities? You, your work is not just to make, open a baby factory and just produce all the time babies. It's your duty that you look after your children also. And looking after them is not to give them haram school uniforms and haram clothing and textbooks and all the other wrong things and sports and entertainment. And today, children, what and what they possess. How the parents were for in the love of the children, spoil the children, destroy the children, what toys they give them, what things, the cell phone from a young age, which is destruction for the child, putting on the TV for the little child, that the child, mother wants her freedom to do what she wants to, on her cell phone the child mustn't disturb her, and should the child keep the child entertained with cartoons, or with some other things on the screen there. So the children are not meant for that. The children, one person, in the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam came to Nabi Ali Salam and complained about his child. So Nabi Ali Salam asked the child, he said, my father, first of all, he didn't keep a nice name, he kept my name Jaal. Jaal is like an insect, a worm. Now you keep your child's worm a mosquito, you keep your child's name a cockroach, what you can expect from that child now? And he never made any tarbiyat of mine. So then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam spoke to the father, your duty, what you must do for your child. In one court case, where the child also went and he did so many wrong things. So when it came out in court, so he said, I would like to whisper something in my mother or father's ear. So when they came near, he bit off the ear. And he said, you never ever told me anything how to live my life. You spoiled me. You gave me all the wrong things in life. So children are not for that. Very important that we do work of deen also. And we are so, other people are involved in dunya and they got no time for their children. We are involved in deeni work and we got no time for our own children. To have time for our children, this is our biggest asset. Our children, our biggest asset. And the first people who should get deen, our children, before our students. They will come afterwards, before our murids, before our public, before our Juma crowd, our own children. And we totally neglect them. As far as deeni issues, or we just feel satisfied, we handed them, they're going madrasa. But we don't even ask. How many children, as far as dunya is concerned, the parents don't know which school they are attending. The parents don't ask ever, what are you learning at school? If just that little checkup is done, that today the teacher told us this, this, yeah, a lot of control can be kept on the children. On the madrasa, who are your friends, what you people discuss, what games you people play. It's very, very important to relate to the children. Most we will do is go for a holiday with the children. And now I fulfill the rights of the children. But in the holiday also I don't relate. I'm still busy with my phone. I got no time to have time for our children. Quality time for the wife. That is a thing because become a major issue. Wife hasn't got time for her husband. Husband hasn't got time for his wife. For our children we haven't got time. Then where is the family unit? It is just in words the family unit. Just sketches of a home. And we define what's a house and what's a home. And what is the family life. The family life is to have family life. And all according to deen. And if you trained your children from day one when you got married, the first night when you were in privacy with your wife and you brought her, for 2 rakats of namaz. That's a very major thing which has been prescribed. When a husband and wife get married and they improvise, first 2 rakats of namaz, the husband makes imamat. That's a lesson for life, that the imam in my life is my husband. And the imam also, I not to follow him for his whims and desires. But as long as he's making namaz according to Allah's command, he leads my whole life according to Allah's command, I am his muqtada, muqtadi. I will follow him. So all that has to come. Prepare your wife and she will prepare your children. But we spoil the wife, especially the worst we spoil them. We became like monkeys aping the West. When the first week of honeymoon, we spoiled the wife completely. After one honeymoon, when they came back, the wife phoned the mother and pleaded with her, come pick me up now, immediately. But daughter, it's only 1 week, sir. You're just back from honeymoon. No, I can't stay here. It's impossible. This life is impossible. You can't believe it. What's happening? He's using 4-letter words on me. Swear words. He's using worse than 4-letter, 5-letter words on me. He's swearing me terribly. What is he saying? He's telling me to iron. He's telling me to cook. He's telling me to wash. He's telling me to clean. All that. Now, those are big swear words now. So, this is training. We took her into for a honeymoon, living like 2 monkeys looking at the moon all the time. And everything ready, found. And when you come home, you fall on reality now. Now the day-to-day chores are there now. And now you can't face. And so we are nazuk, delicate. We can't do the basic daily things also. Without exaggeration, my sister Marhuma explained, one family girl was going to get married. They sent her to her to train her, little cooking and that. She told her, fry an egg. She had no clue of how to fry an egg. She took an egg and threw it in the water. She had no clue. Like this girl, because they are too busy doing all other things, wasting their time in other things. If not any school and university, then girls are going to learn, I'm not exaggerating, how to eat an apple. For that also they go for training. How you must sit in style. Your one leg must be over the other leg. How you must take the apple and look at it, admire it and all that. Is there something in that? And our deen, we don't know our kalima. We don't know how to say Allahu Akbar properly. Well, the real things what we have to teach, and this is Allah's system. When you don't do the right, there isn't a vacuum, that nothing won't happen. It's replaced immediately by the wrong. If we don't do the right, it's not that you're just not doing the right, but you will do the wrong. That time has to be placed, filled. That place has to be filled. If you don't put Quran Sharif in the house, Kitabs in the house, then all other Harry Potter and all other novels and all other things will come into that house. Do the right things. If you don't have Quran in your house, Quran Sharif, TV has to come in. Because there's boredom, there's nothing to do. We have to kill time. So then TV has to come into that house. So do the right things and do it from the start. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So anyway, Quran Sharif is a great, great kitab. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. May Allah make us real. Whoever has realized what the Quran Sharif is, they couldn't do without it. Not morning, not night. Not at home, not at work. Not in leisure, pleasure. There was one great alim, Maulana Salot of Durban, passed away. On one occasion, after he had become old, like retired, so he went to by his sister, daughter's place. So on a Sunday, they had made a picnic to go to the seashore. So they told him, Maulana, and they told him, tomorrow this time we'll go. So he said, it's time, let us go. So he said, I can't go. Why? He said, I have to read my 5 suparas. He said, the whole day you got to read. By the sea you can sit and read. He said, I don't step out of the house until I haven't read my 5 suparas. Then only can I put my leg out of the house. So like that, devotion to Quran Sharif. There was this, just for our inspiration. One good friend of ours who was doing maktab work in Cape Town. He worked there for quite a while, so he built connections also, friend. So when he came back, he told me there is this one family where they have 3 daughters, all 3 are hafiza. And every night, before Fajr, they read, each one reads 5 suparas. After some time, many times he came back, he wasn't going anymore, he was here now. After I asked him, he's still in contact with that family. He said, just last week I phoned them. So I asked them, are they still reading the Quran? He said, Maulana, now the father say they're reading 10 suparas every night. Each one of them 10 suparas a night. This is for our inspiration. One good friend of ours of Malay origin and a very wealthy person in the gold business, he was that time, and whole day busy. And as we were talking, he explained that every year Taraweeh he never misses, half is a Quran also. So I say, you're so busy in your dunya, whole year you don't read Quran Sharif. How can you stand on the Musalla? Very hard unless you read. He said, Maulana, it's no big deal. Every day, 1 hour before Fajr, I read 3 suparas every day. And he just took it like in the stride, like just brushing his teeth. Or just like putting on his shoes. That's one natural thing I do. Now every 1 hour, for a half is 20 minutes of kusupara. Quite comfortably he finishes it. So he says 1 hour every day before Fajr, I read my 3 suparas. In Ramzan, Taraweeh, I'm on the Musalla. I got no problem there. No, I got no excuse of ulcers and sugar, and I can't make this year Taraweeh, this year this happened, because I'm ready for Taraweeh, and I look forward to it. So Allah give us tawfiq to read Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif is a great ni'mat of Allah. So the Quran Sharif has got many rights over us, and we should try and understand the rights of the Quran Sharif and fulfill this right. If we don't fulfill them, like of our children, of our family, of anything, our body, if we don't fulfill the rights of the body, you must listen to your body also. And the body speaks to you. And if you don't, then the body will bog you down. Now you won't be able to go for Jamaat Namaz also. You won't be able to do anything. Like that, the rights of the Quran Sharif. So a few rights we will explain. These are just a few. The first and most important right of the Quran is Iman bil Quran. That we have that full convincing that this is the Allah's Kalam. And every letter, every dot, every Arab, Zabar, Zair is 100% perfect and correct. And it is all from Allah Ta'ala. That as we believe in the whole Quran, every mu'min, every Muslim says, I believe in the Quran Sharif. It's the book of Allah, the kitab of Allah, sent by Allah to Jibreel alayhi salam. And the Quran Sharif is not this kitab that we have, that we hold, the mushaf. The Quran is the meaning of those words. The words and their meaning. And that words, like I'm speaking, you can hear them, but you can't see them. So this words of the Quran Sharif, and the meaning, what the proper meaning which Allah intends, that is Quran Sharif. Not that we take that, the words of the Quran, and we give it our meaning. That's not Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif is lafzan, ma'anan, what Allah Ta'ala has revealed. So on that is my iman. And my iman, all we say, we believe in the whole, in the kitab. That means every ayat of the Quran Sharif we believe in. But then every individual ayat also, my whole iman must be fully on every individual ayat also. Like for example, interest is haram. End of the story, interest is haram. Ahallallahu al-bay'a wa harrama al-riba. Riba is haram. So riba in all its forms is haram. Now to try and make all loopholes and to try and find ways to prove riba is halal or in this form or when this is the condition, finish once. Mufti Saeed Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, the Shaykhul Hadith of Darulum Deoband, whenever anyone used to ask him about Islamic banking, Islamic finance, he says the foundation of all banking is riba. So don't speak one word further of this subject. It is haram. And even the present, whatever they call financial, Islamic banking and Islamic finance, they all deal with the conventional banks. All their money is deposited with the convention, and the conventional banks don't make any bones about it. That they deal in riba, their whole foundation, their backbone is riba, is interest. Therefore, to work in a bank, because your salary is coming out from interest. The whole thing works on interest. So, like that, our convincing iman must be on that ayat. We say, I believe in the whole Quran. But then this ayat, now the ifs and the buts come out. That doesn't help. Now, we believe in the Quran Sharif as far as parda is concerned, which means clear cut. Islam wants woman to be separate, man to be separate. With the details, in our home, private homes, our own family, not separate. Well, everyone knows that, what we mean by parda. Once we were in Jamaat, and we were the Arab Jamaat, and the Amir of Marseille in France, he was an Algerian, he was also with us, and we had built up a relationship. So one day he told me how you people, Indian people, we were in India at that time in Gujarat, he said, how you people have understood parda is completely wrong. Because if that is the meaning of parda, that woman must be separate, man must be separate, he said, then there is no spice in life, no fun in life. That he said, if you're having a function, a wedding, anything, and the women are mixing and talking and all, and the usual talk that where's the achar, bring them, bring this, bring that, and women are coming and going, he said, then there is fun. But only man one side, woman one side, there is no fun. And then he read the ayat immediately. Laysa alaykum junahun an ta'kulu jami'an aw ashtata. And the meaning he made, there is no guna on you. Man and woman, all of you mix and eat. Or you eat separately, man separately, woman separately. And Quran Sharif, from my realization, that it is not a kitab you can understand with your own understanding. Until you don't go to tafasir, and you don't go to Shan-e-Nuzul, etc., you will never understand. No matter how conversant you are with Quran Sharif, Quran, nobody can beat the Quran. One great Imam, Imam Ismail of Cape Town, marhum, he has passed away. He was the only South African of known history who was given permission to make Maghrib Imamat in Haram Sharif. His caliber in every way, his piety, his knowledge, his Quran Sharif, his reading, everything. So he used to come and make Taraweeh in the Kirk Street Masjid in those days. And he spent the whole month here. And his reading was superb, superb. His hips, everything. He read 1 year whole Quran Sharif, no mistake. When he came, Qul Wallahu Ahad, he got stuck. And he just couldn't take the next word. As much as they giving him luqma, he couldn't take it. Quran Sharif, nobody can master the Quran. Quran controls you. You can never control the Quran Sharif. So this is that great kitab which Allah Ta'ala has given us. So what was that point else? Gee. So to understand Quran Sharif, nobody can claim that I understand. Nobody can master the Quran. Quran masters you. And Quran controls you. So when I went to one Darul Uloom in Kantaria, in Baruch, so I went to the library, I took Jalalain, then I saw the actual, what this ayat means, that the Sahaba were trained in such a way that they should not eat without a guest. That you had to eat with a guest. It became like, they understood it like a farz, you must have a guest. When one Sahaba did not have a guest, he didn't eat that night. So then this ayat was revealed that Laysa alaykum junahun an ta'kulu jami'an, that is with the guest you eat, or you eat without a guest. Otherwise they were not prepared to eat without a guest. And our attitude today is completely opposite. And we try and avoid the guest. Those were the days, we remember those days, but today is a different scenario completely. That if in the masjid there was one stranger, he is identified immediately. And then not one, 10 people will go to him, have meals at my place. And in Afghanistan, their hospitality is known so greatly that if somebody had told somebody that you are my guest, I'm just going home arranging, I'll come back, I'll come fetch you just now, and somebody else had to take that guest, then war broke out. They should shoot one another dead for the sake of my guest. How could you take my guest? So much they used to go to that extent. Today, we understand the ayat, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believers, you must keep your gazes low. That is namaz time. That if there are any foreigner, outsiders or something, you must just look down and walk out. You mustn't see in case there is somebody, and then you have to invite him home. So today is a complete different scenario. So anyway, so the Quran Sharif, to understand it properly. So all, yes, the family relationships we must have also. And that also according to Quran Sharif. Everything according. So we believe in the whole Quran. But when it comes to parda matters, then many, many good people, whether they are tablighis, whether they are in the khanqa, whether they are alims, when, like for example, a function each day, then the whole family must sit together. There's daughters-in-law, there's sons-in-law, and all mix. And those poor children, they want to make practice on deen. They want parda. But now the father-in-law, he's a big head. Like the, he became like Khuda, and he makes these rules. And he says, all must sit together on the table and eat. Now this poor girl caught the niqab, and from under the niqab they're eating. That is also, for parda is freedom for women, not restriction. We got it completely wrong with looking at it. Parda is restriction for women. Parda is to give them freedom, give them their area, their territory, give them the space, and in there they are free. No niqab, they don't have to wear the burqa. Some women also, no matter where they go, they don't take off the burqa. Burqa is just for covering when you are outside, when it's necessary. Now when you are only with the woman, and no man is expected there, no man should come there, then the woman without her burqa, without her niqab, with the other woman freely, they are mixing. And some took it to such a way that even when they just with women, they don't lift up their niqab. So parda, so we break the laws of Allah. So we have to have iman on every ayat as it is required from us. We must not lima tuharrimu ma halallah. Don't make halal haram what Allah has made halal, and don't make halal what Allah has made haram. Stay within your lane. Stay within your limit. So the whole Quran, iman bil Quran, entails all these details completely that we should have in our lives. So that is the first thing. The second thing, and there is no end to have this iman and yaqeen, just to explain what it is. When the British, when the Muslims were fighting the British, they came and they stole their country from them. It was under Muslim rule, India, and the British came and they stole India from them. And in that also, there are many other political aspects that we should be enlightened also. One, very briefly, we shouldn't be so simple-minded and just take at face value people's words, what they say. They came, they said, we're coming to doing the business. The British East India Company they established, and to do business with the people of India. But the whole object was to steal the whole country. And their report was, at the beginning, when what kind of a country India is, the one reporter who gave his report in the British Parliament, a top politician, he says it's a country rich in everything. And I traveled from one end of the country to the other. Nowhere did I find a single beggar. And today, what did they make of India? Everywhere, one robot, and there's no limit to the beggars. Anywhere you give one beggar something, and you'll find a whole train and group of beggars coming to you. But at that time, not one beggar in the whole country. Very, very great country it was. And how did they come in? Just by the business, outward form of business. So we have to be on our guard on all these matters. So when the British, the Muslims were fighting to get rid of the British from India, not that they are ruling, but that they want to make them Christian. So the ulama understood this. The rulers couldn't understand this. And when they were told the rulers, then they told Delhi Durst. They have just come there by the shores of India with the ships. We are very far away, they can conquer. But the ulama, we became apprehensive. And for this also, we then blame the ulama, that they are too narrow-minded. They are seeing ghosts when there are no ghosts. But they are the ones who realize what is the problem. Outwardly it looks like this, but behind it, what are the problems? The ulama are the first. Quran's barakat, Hadith Sharif's barakat, and the company of the pious under whom they study, they can see things easily, they can make out. This person is coming in a sweet voice, in a nice way, dressed, but his actual object is something else. So they started fighting the British. And in that process, one alim, who was who had a top position in the fighting against the British, who knew the secrets of the Muslim strategy, how they want to go, they captured him. And together with him, his young son also, of 8-9 years or something. And the son was always with the father. So what the secret the father knew, the son also knew. When they captured them, and they tried and bribed, that is the first thing. So they tried and bribe him that you give us the secrets of the Muslims. So when they put him under heavy pressure, and he saw that now they're going to, what's called it, they won't crack me, but my son knows all the secrets as well. And as a young boy, he will easily perhaps speak up. So what he told them, on one condition I can give you the secrets, that you kill my son and you kill him in front of my eyes. So they fell for that. They killed him. After that, they asked him, he said, now you can do what you want to. You can turn the world upside down. I won't speak one word. So they asked, what made you your own son? And in front of your eyes, you asked him to be killed. Why? He said that I feared. Me, you won't correct me. But he is a small boy. He might speak. So I wanted, he must be, that outlet of that secrets must be closed permanently. And in front of my eyes that I know that he is killed. The officer who was in charge, the British officer, he asked, what made you do this? Have your own son killed and in front of your eyes? So he told him, Iman. He went mad, just saying Iman, Iman, Iman. What is Iman? That Iman has got this power in it. He became a mental case and he had to be sent back to England. The top ranking officer. That this is Iman, what it makes a mu'min to do. A mu'min will do the impossible. Iman is that power. And Iman by Allah there is nothing impossible, we call things impossible. For Allah there is nothing impossible. And when you have your Iman on Allah, you are prepared to do those things which are for Allah is nothing. It's not even child's play. It's nothing for us. It is a big impossible thing. But you achieve the Sahaba, what they achieved. The Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. All Iman. So this Iman on the Quran Sharif we must have. We have to go a long way still to build this Iman. Quran Sharif is not only to read it in a sweet, melodious voice under nice circumstances and everything is going and we're getting praises. Wah, wah, Allah, Allah. And we're getting all praises. No, Quran and the first ingredient of Quran is Iman bil Quran, that convincing, unflinching, completely convincing belief in the commands of Allah. Allah give us all tawfiq to bring this Iman. And this is the month to the right of the Quran, the reading. We are so weak in the reading. And in all that, much more than reading is required of Quran Sharif from us. And just to think that now I am reading, my everything going smooth, I'm a devotee of the Quran. Nothing could be further from the truth. To become what a man of Quran. Lillahi ahleen. Man hum ya Rasulullah, hum ahlul Quran. Hum ahlul Allah. Wa khasfatuhu. Allah make us among those people, even in just a really small way. May Allah make us. Amen.